Keep on keeping on.
That's it. You doing all right?
I am. Yeah. Things are good. Busy with the gala.
I'm a lot. It's almost over.
Can't wait.
I get it. How are you? You doing all right?
Nice to meet you as well.
Oh, thank you. Oh, awesome. What's your name? Nice to meet you. Oh.
I love Kristen. Well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, thank you for being involved.
I'm asking everybody in the same community.
Not a problem. All right. I'll be ready.
I can't give you
that. No, don't. I'm not even going to ask that. I'm not going to even ask that. So, yeah. So, yeah, I'm glad to be here. I'm enjoying it, you know. Don't get me wrong, I am exhausted. You're thinking about, you know, traveling across the state, and my phone calls, but also still juggling. What I have to do is kind of executive. I enjoy it every moment. I enjoy it every moment.
Because they were all, like, consoled.
We had a great time up there. They really appreciated it. I was in Shawnee not too long ago. I've been a few places. I mean, Jackson County, Columbia County, Waukesha, Ozaukee. I mean, everyone. I think that. One, they hear all these names,
exactly.
Then you get a chance to see them. You know, I'm a very personal guy, so once I'm in these rooms, I'm starting, you know, I just get into my zone, right? I just, someone like a Donald Trump can destroy not just the trust, but the institution themselves that people rely on. So this is about, how do we change perception? You have to change perception. Rather keep us divided because it keeps them in. Yeah. You know, it's. It's a different conversation. God bless you.
All right. So, give me a sense of how you're feeling. We're, you know, long way to go still, but how are things going?
Well, you know, we're about 5 months into five to six months into this race, and still have a long runway ahead of us. Well, you know, we're traveling all across the state. We're traveling all across, you know, different communities across Wisconsin to let our voice, let our message be heard. I am excited. It's a great opportunity to be able to run for governor and for the great state of Wisconsin. But I'll definitely say I am tired. You know, being the only candidate, having a full-time job related to running an entire county can be a little challenging. But I love the opportunity to talk to so many voters, hear the issues that they're concerned with, and really talk with them and bring it into the table to help come up with solutions that's going to fit their needs.
So how do you split that message between those who are really tuned in and wondering, like, what's your polling numbers, what's your fundraising, versus those that haven't even started to pay attention yet and are, like, saying, hey, when's the TV commercial coming up? And, like, those that are, like, really far ends of their awareness right now.
I mean, you absolutely have your political junkies who are tuning in and asking a lot of questions. But we also know there's a lot happening in the world. So many folks have not been paying attention to the governor's race because there's just so much of the political oxygen locally that are being sucked out of the room. And so, but it's about meeting people where they are. It's about having conversations and not necessarily talking about policy right away, but building relationship. I think relationship building is something that we have lost in politics. It's one of the reasons why our government has become so polarized here in Wisconsin, as well as at the federal level. And the more and more we can have conversations conversations, learning people's why they get involved and what their goals are, we can come together and make sure we're pushing policies that allows every boat to rise.
So when you see like the Marquette poll numbers say 65% undersubsided, is that concerning or is that just, hey, that means everyone's still got a fair chance of this?
I think everybody still has a fair chance in this, right? But let's face it, right? We still have a state Supreme Court race, right? That we still haven't, you know, even went to the polls for. So this, we know that we're still a little early. But after the state Supreme Court race, we know it's going to be off to the races, talking to as many people as possible, letting our message be heard about why myself or any other candidate is the best candidate for this primary election.
You're talking about the overlap here with that state Supreme Court race. As you're bringing people in, is there room to say, obviously, we'll support Chris Taylor, but then, you know, whoever else as well? And how does that work when it comes to like, getting people fired up to start doing work?
Well, look, we know that the momentum is on Democrat side. There's a lot of enthusiasm as far as getting out to vote. And so as I'm campaigning for governor across the state of Wisconsin, I'm absolutely making sure to stump on behalf of Chris Taylor. She deserves the opportunity to represent us in the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. And she's going to be not only a great candidate, but she's going to be a great justice as well. And this is an opportunity for us as Democrats, right? Not just focusing on how we're fighting back against the tyranny happening in Washington, D.C., but how we're galvanizing, how we're putting a plan in place and putting a vision that's going to help us bring lost voices back to our party.
And how does that movement that starts now with Supreme Court kind of flow all the way through, like April to August?
Well, you know what? It's not just about getting folks to come out to vote, right? We have to continue to campaign, not just getting folks to let their voices be heard at the ballot box, but even to push policies at the state level. And so it's going to take everybody, independents, Republicans, Democrats, to come to the table and making sure that we're talking about how important this election is and how we need to move our state forward because so many families are continuously being left behind.
Is it a little different doing an event in your backyard versus like in a different part of the state where you know you have to introduce yourself?
Well, you know, it's great to be home. You know, it's great to be here at the Milwaukee County Democratic Party, being able to get our message across our local community. But it's always as equally great to travel, right? Especially taking a scenic route everywhere in the state of Wisconsin, learning about different cities, towns, and villages and counties, their unique perspectives, and quite frankly, their particular needs. And so this is a great opportunity, right, for us to make sure that we're focusing on moving our state forward. Issues and challenges right now, they're all the same in rural, suburban, and urban Wisconsin. Even though life may actually look different, the challenges are the same. And so it's really about how do we tackle these issues to make sure that no one is left behind. It shouldn't matter what your zip code is. It's about making sure that families can get ahead.
Thank you very much. We'll keep that on you so we can hear you.
Not a problem. Not a problem. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
You want to meet some
of them? How y'all doing? So I'm not going to remember any of your names. David Crosby. So thank y'all for being here. You enjoying your Saturday so far?
Yeah.
Hey, every day's a good day. I won't complain. I could, but.
Well, should we get you speaking here?
Whenever you want me to get started. You can't see it, probably.
Thanks.
There you go.
There we go. Thank you. It takes the county executive.
He's well equipped to be governor.
I didn't even have to make it. Sorry, my name is Keewon Jennings. I go by Key to your hearts. I'm currently the vice chair of the Milwaukee County Democratic Party. I have the honor and privilege of introducing our current county executive, David Crowley. I wanted to talk more about who he is as a person. Most recently, he was actually my state representative of the 17th Assembly District. Now he's currently our county executive, but I can recall a few years back getting involved in the political scene, and I would be able to like call him up and he was accessible. And I didn't get that feeling from a lot of electeds at that point. And so I remember one conversation in particular, I was racking my head around how to organize essentially, and he put it plainly. He's like, if you care, just show that you care. And that literally was not the only thing he taught me, but I understand how he cares about our community, and
he does it in his work every single day. He just exudes passion. And I wanted to let you all know that he's a more passionate person than he is any elected. And so, that being said, I know y'all here to see David, but thank you for being here.
Thank you.
County Executive David Crowder.
Thank you. All right, it is afternoon, good afternoon. Thank you for that introduction, Key, and the quote that he was talking about is one of my favorite quotes by Teddy Roosevelt. No one cares what you know until they know how much you care.
Yes.
Because it's all about relationship building, something that we've actually lost sight of, quite frankly, in politics. But I am David Crowley. I am a husband. I always have to give my better two-thirds, my better three-quarters a shout-out because I wouldn't be able to do this work without her. I'm a girl dad times three. I have a 18, 8, and 6-year-old, and yes, they keep me very busy. I'm the county executive and run to be your next governor of the great state of Wisconsin. I was born and raised in the city of Milwaukee. I am a product of Wisconsin, 53206 zip code to be exact. And as many of you know, it's a community that's known more for what it actually lacks than what it actually has. But even though my life, my daily life was a part of struggle, I was also surrounded by people who lifted me up when I needed it most. I'm extremely blessed that I had teachers, I had mentors, I had neighbors who looked at me and said, that kid deserves a chance. And that's why I'm running to be the next governor of Wisconsin, because I believe that everyone deserves the opportunity to write a story like mine. And as I travel across the state, you know, all 19 municipalities within Milwaukee County, we've been in so many communities across this state. Even though living life in urban, rural, suburban Wisconsin may look different, the challenges, the barriers, they're all the same. And I'm hearing the same from everybody right now, right? Cost is going up, whether we're talking groceries, whether we're talking electricity, whether we're talking housing, childcare, healthcare, the list goes on and on. Too many people are being squeezed every single day. And so I know as the next governor of Wisconsin, we have to be laser focused on the cost of living. And that's what I will be focused on. And we have to start with making sure that people can actually afford the basic essentials. And for me, it starts with housing. And it's personal for me. I was evicted 3 times before I graduated high school. 15 years, moved every single day of my life. But it's also informed how I move as the Milwaukee County Executive and why we have fought extremely hard to make sure that we can invest in housing initiatives, to make sure that we can prevent families in Milwaukee County from facing eviction. Matter of fact, we have about 6 different projects of affordable housing projects happening in suburban communities within Milwaukee County right now for the first time ever. And it's happening because I realized that housing is needed everywhere, not just in urban centers. And it's happening because we were able to bring these communities to the table and get rid of the stigma and their perception by helping us help them address their community needs. And so we can make sure here in the state of Wisconsin that every family, every individual can have access to safe, stable housing. And I know that we hear a lot of talking points. And this is not a talking point for me, right? Because we have been able to do it. Wisconsin, we need someone who knows how to govern. Campaigning, making promises, we've seen that day in and day out. That's the easy part. Governing is extremely hard, especially under the current circumstances we find ourselves in. But I'm the only candidate in this race that actually has experience not only governing, but balancing billion-dollar budgets, figuring out how to prioritize critical services, quite frankly, when the math isn't working. When I became county executive, I had to work with our workers to make sure that they get the pension that they earned, and we helped strengthen Milwaukee County's pension for future generations. And when we were facing crisis, the pandemic, or the floods, I was in these communities, looking them directly into their eyes, making sure that no one was going to fall through the cracks. I know what it's like to be accountable for my own actions. And when Milwaukee County, when we're facing our largest fiscal deficit, I didn't just go to Madison and say, let's bring back more money to Milwaukee. We built a coalition, and we passed a bill that helped every city, every town, every village, every county in the state of Wisconsin get more money back from Wisconsin. I don't have to tell you all, you know, the state of Wisconsin broke their promise to local communities. That's why we're going to referendum every single year for our schools, for our local units of government. We need to make sure that we're bringing Democrats and Republicans to the table.
to bring these dollars back to local communities to invest in what matters most to them. Public safety, public health, infrastructure. That's what's needed right now. And I know that we're tired of hearing the rhetoric, and we're tired because there's so much happening at the federal level. It's taking all of the oxygen out of the room right now. And I want you to know, I'm not just frustrated with who's occupying the White House. I'm frustrated with Democrats as well. It's great that we have been fighting back consistently against the tyranny that we see coming out of this White House, but what's more important is that we have to galvanize and we have to get cohesive with our message. Folks know what we're fighting against, but they don't know what we're fighting for. As Democrats, we have to put an agenda and a vision on the table. We have to focus on how do we bring those lost voices back into the party who believe in our values but don't believe in the system. And I know that young people don't look at leaders as they did in the past, but I think that they're just unconvinced. Because we can't just show up when it's time to vote. We have to show up consistently. And showing up consistently isn't just about going to the ballot box. Because these campaigns, we can win elections, but these campaigns isn't turning into policy wins for Democrats. I know what it means to lead. I know the type of executive leadership the state of Wisconsin needs right now. And we need somebody who can make sure that Democrats, independents, and Republicans can actually come to the table and make government work again. That's what we should be focused on. But the other thing that being a county executive and my upbringing has really taught me is that health is the foundation of everything. Yes, it starts with housing, because you can't focus on any other issues in your life if you don't know where your head is going to be, where you're going to lay your head down at night. And the reason why health is important for me is because my mother, she suffered from drug addiction as well as mental health. It's why we've worked extremely hard to revamp our crisis intervention, to revamp our public health within Milwaukee County. And we did it around one simple idea. And that ideal is that there should be no wrongdoer. No one should have to engage with multiple agencies or walk through multiple doors or make multiple phone calls to get the resources and the help that you need. And because of this level of organizing, we've been able to reduce our overdose deaths by 30% in just 1 year. We've been able to keep people out of our emergency rooms and out of our jails. Right now in Milwaukee County, we have the first fire-based EMS system in the entire state that actually does blood transfusions in the field during trauma-related events to help save more lives. These are the types of programs that we can scale across the state of Wisconsin. Yes, we may not have the greatest mental health system, but we have one. And other communities across this state don't have one at all. By helping to expand what we have done here in Milwaukee County, we can give our suburban and rural communities better access to mental health treatment, better access to drug treatment, reliable access so they can go to the doctors and see their clinics. And we can help modernize their EMS and their fire services to make sure that their families and their kids are healthy, because that makes our state that much stronger and that much safer. I focused on making Milwaukee County the healthiest county. I am now focused on making the state the healthiest state in the Midwest by 2035. And I know there's a lot at stake. We see what's happening with the ICE intimidation coming from the federal level. We see how our democracy is under attack. We see how reproductive freedom is under attack, voting rights is under attack, and we damn sure have to figure out how we can ease the burden that so many Wisconsinites are feeling because of the chaos that is happening in Washington, D.C. But in order to do that, it's going to take all of us. I am not running to be the governor of Milwaukee County. I am running to be a governor for all of us. I'm not running to be a governor for those who just vote for me. I'm running to be a governor for all of us, because it's time that we stop letting families be left behind. If we're going to move the state of Wisconsin forward, we can't afford for families to be left behind. And so I'm asking you all to join this movement, to be a part of this campaign, because I'm gonna be honest, it's not about me. It's not about my wife and my three kids. It's about all of us. It's about all of our families. It's about the future of Wisconsin.
And I truly believe that who is at the top of the ticket matters if we're going to have the trifecta we deserve to have in the state of Wisconsin. We have to take over the state senate. We have to take over the state assembly. It's crazy right now that we can't even agree on basic things. It has taken us so many years just to give women the postnatal care that they need after having a child. Does it matter how far left or how far right you are right now? The one thing that we can agree on is that government is broken. And at a time where government feels loud, it feels angry, we need somebody who's going to be steady. Someone who's going to bring some energy, galvanize our base, and make sure that we set an example, not just for our state, but for Democrats across the entire country. We can create the blueprint, but it's going to take all of us to make that happen. So please, visit my website, CrowleyForWI.com. Sign up, join this movement. Get involved, volunteer. Because my biggest fear is not losing this race. My biggest fear is Tom Tiffany becoming the next governor of Wisconsin. They are willing to not only destroy the institutions themselves, but they're willing to destroy the public trust in the very government that is built to keep us safe. I'm not running on distractions. I'm not running on division. I'm running on bringing people together. And so thank you for not only being here, but thank you for giving your time, giving your talent, giving your treasure, and helping us move our party forward. This is our moment. The time is now. And let's capture it together. Thank you.
Thanks. Great speech. My question is, if we do get control of the House, the Senate, and the governor's office, one of the first things that the legislature is going to do, including myself, is push for the repeal of Act 10. Where do you stand on that?
Repeal it.
Okay.
That's a simple
answer. Okay, I just wanted to be sure, because I'm hearing from other people that you're saying no, so I wanted to hear you say yes.
I don't know where you heard that from.
Mr. County Executive, thank you for being here today. I'm going to mention two names. I think you know them both well. One is Tom Barrett. The other, Mandela Barnes. Wisconsin has not been kind to Milwaukee-based candidates. How are you going to win where they did not?
Well, I'm also the only Milwaukee-based candidate who's actually delivered for rural communities already. And so when we passed Act 12, that brought more money from the state of Wisconsin to every community across the state and gave them a little bit more money, which continues to help them pay for public safety, infrastructure, housing, the things that matter most to them. But I'm also a current executive that don't believe that I need to stay inside my comfort zone. The problem, I believe, with politics in Wisconsin is that most of us like to stay in our geographical comfort zone. You know, and so for me, it's about meeting people exactly where they are. And so as I travel across the state, it's not just about bringing my ideas to the table. It's about building relationship. And let's face it, a lot of people who, Democrats and Republicans who rail on Milwaukee, most of the time has never met or been to Milwaukee. And let's also face it, some of us in Milwaukee have never met and been to some of these other places across the state. And so we have to bring some balance, and we have to meet people exactly where they are. But I don't think that being a Milwaukee-based candidate hurts me. Being a Milwaukee-based candidate lets folks know that I'm willing and can do the job. I represent 19 different municipalities, a million people, a sixth of the entire state's population is right here within Milwaukee County. And as you know, Supervisor, all 19 communities in Milwaukee County don't necessarily get along. But we've been able to come to the table and have those hard conversations. And we've been able to make sure that they can lend their voices to the solutions that fit them. And I think what's also important when it comes down to stepping outside my geographical comfort zone is that for too long, the way we've been organizing is telling other communities what they need to do. The worst thing that anybody could do is walk into somebody else's house and tell them to clean up. It's not how it should work. What we should be focusing on is asking them what the issues are. Because there isn't a one-size-fits-all solution for the state of Wisconsin. What works here in Milwaukee may not work in the Barron, may not work in the Marinette, may not work in the Racine, so on and so forth. But the ideal is making sure that they're at the table so we can right-size those solutions to fit their communities. And I think that's how we were able to get South Milwaukee, Wauwatosa, West Allis, Brown Deer, Glendale, and others to build affordable housing right here in Milwaukee County.
And we have seen a county executive become governor before.
We did. We did see a Milwaukee County executive become governor before. So there is a path, but I want to be very clear, I am nothing like that guy. I'm going to go here, then you, Keith.
Okay. Yeah, in your future state initiative, you address health care. There are studies that show that 70 to 90% of all health issues are lifestyle related. It's prevention, it's educating the public. We could cut, you know, the bills tremendously if we could get people to cooperate. How would you address this?
Well, it's about changing perception, right? And so I don't look at health as just the mental and physical aspects of health. Housing is health. Public transit is health. Access to a good public education is health. Healthcare access is health. And so we need to look at a broader lens of health to encompass the social determinants of health, because it doesn't just focus on the individual, it focuses on actually lifting up the community, which helps us to save more money long term. And so we have to focus on how do we invest upstream? How do we focus on prevention and early intervention care versus only crisis care, which is the most expensive care that is out there? And so we have to get creative and innovative as far as how we're working with clinics, how we're working with hospital systems, how we're working with both the state and the federal government, because let's face it, even what we've seen just happen at the federal level, how is Wisconsin going to fill these gaps right now? What are we going to do with some of the clinics who are not only leaving urban centers, but many rural areas? I was just in Jackson County not too long ago, and they talked about the fact that they had to travel about an hour just to get to the next hospital. And so can you imagine somebody trying to prepare for a pregnancy or trying to prepare for an emergency services? That's an hour away. We have to figure out how we bring things much closer and focus on more preventative measures. The more we invest upstream, the less money we have to spend downstream on more expensive institutions. And that works not only with healthcare, it works with mental health, it works with our education system, it works with employment. The more and more we can keep people out of our emergency rooms, out of our jails and out of our prisons, the more money we're gonna have for our schools and for everything else that's gonna help lift all the boats in Wisconsin.
Yeah, you kind of just touched on it, but I just recently had a son. He's a black boy here in Milwaukee, and we're the most incarcerated, most scariest place to raise a black man. And so I'm just wondering, have you thought about criminal justice reform, ways to, let's say he's targeted and somehow gets a record, but like the expungement rules are ridiculous. Like, are there plans to address those issues?
Oh, absolutely. So, full transparency, when I was in the state assembly, I was the ranking member on criminal justice. So criminal justice issues are extremely important to me. You know, not too long ago, we just celebrated the opportunity to bring more children back home from Lincoln Hills and keep them closer to Milwaukee County. That was a bill that I brought to Robin Voss, right? Now granted, I brought that bill to him in 2018, and it's taken this long to bring these kids back and for us to provide the opportunity that they need, right? When it comes down to criminal justice, there's no reason why we have not changed the expungement laws. No judge is going to look into a crystal ball during sentencing and say at the age of, because you're 25 or younger, we're going to give you the opportunity to get an expungement. Everybody deserves the opportunity to get an expungement. Every single person. Mm-hmm. right? And we should also, and I'm glad that Governor Evers has given out more pardons than any other governor in our history, and that's something that we have to continue because people deserve a second chance. People absolutely deserve a second chance. And don't tell me, my first job right out of high school was at a place called Project Return. I was helping ex-offenders find employment and housing at the age of 18. I was walking into prisons, helping people develop a plan. It's one of the hardest jobs I ever had, but one of the most fulfilling. Felony convictions, it doesn't just lock a person up for that time frame. It locks that person up almost for a lifetime. Because we know that people continue to go to CCAP and use these things against so many folks. My mother was evicted 3 times. It took 10 years for those evictions to come off of her record. So just imagine how hard it was for her to even move into a place. It was difficult. And so we absolutely need to revamp criminal justice. And we're way behind the eight ball on that. Grover Norquist came to the state of Wisconsin, came to the state legislature almost back in 2017 talking about the need for Republicans to do criminal justice reform. Now, I don't agree with Grover Norquist on much, probably nothing, except for the fact that we need criminal justice reform. We absolutely have to focus on that. The fact is that it is cheaper right now. Cheaper right now to send a kid to Harvard for 1 year than it is to lock them up at Lincoln Hills for 1 year. So we have to focus on how do we give more opportunity versus stifling it for many folks in our community.
Since 1966, we have never elected 2 governors of the same party in a row. So this would be a groundbreaking election. But over that time,
it's been a groundbreaking everything. Like.
Yes, yes. But over that time, the numbers have not changed. The margins have not changed. So there's about 10 to 15% of this state electorate that goes from this side to this side to this side to this side. So. In your opinion, who are those people? What do they want? And how are you going to convince them of yourself?
I don't know who those people are. And as a politician, elected official, I never want to look into my crystal ball myself. But I think those are the individuals who are looking for stability. And I think right now, when I look at what is happening in this country right now, there is absolutely no stability. There's no certainty right now. Right? We just bombed a country, and now it's like, okay, are we about to enter into a war, and what is that going to look like moving forward? And now, how is those ripple effects and those dominoes falling going to affect everything that we now know as, you know, and I'm just saying now know because I hope this doesn't affect elections in the future. I hope this doesn't say that, you know, we're going to see even more tyranny coming out of Washington, D.C. But I think that at the end of the day, focus wants stability. And I think that we have to make sure we're focusing on leadership that's going to push our parties even further because, again, people aren't believing in the party system right now, right? And I would say that my job as the next governor of Wisconsin is not necessarily get everybody to become card-carrying Democrats. I would love to do that. Right now, my job is to get them to just vote for one. And that's what we should be focusing on. Because if we can change the mindset as far as how we can govern, right? And let's face it, Democrats, state legislature, past 32 years, we've only had control for 2. Am I right?
Yeah.
Only for 2. We have to show that we can govern. We also have to be bold in how we govern. But our job is also to make sure that if we get that trifecta, when that pendulum swings, we got to make sure it stays stuck for a while. We have to make sure it stays stuck for a while because we have good policies. We have good things to move forward. But are we staying true to the message, true to the vision consistently? I know the Republican Party has done that very well for the past 30 to 50 years. We have not. But we also sometimes, we have to pick and choose our battles. And what I mean by that is, we can be wishy-washy. All right? It's 2 things I've been telling everybody that I agree with Trump on. Right? And yet Democrats have not done anything around this messaging. Trump accounts. Y'all heard about that, right?
Yeah.
What was that before?
Baby bonds.
Baby bonds.
Yeah.
Baby bonds. We've been fighting for baby bonds for more than a decade here in the state of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. You know what else he said that I also agree with? Private equity firms shouldn't be buying single family homes. These are Democratic ideas. Mm-hmm. People forgot about it because we haven't talked about it because we're constantly reacting to what is happening in the White House.
Yeah.
So we have, our eye is no longer on the ball. It's just on Trump. And as long as we continue to react to him, he's going to control every narrative.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's time for us to take control. Yeah. It's time for us to organize.
Yes.
Go Jack and then.
Two really quick questions. One, looking at the treatment of the people of Minneapolis and the Twin Cities as our next governor, what's the number one lesson or the top lessons you take out of seeing how that's unfolded? And then second, you know, I work two full-time jobs. My wife works full-time. We're paying, we have two kids, we're paying $42,000 a year in child care. You know, we got friends who are teachers who can't afford a second kid. It's not that they don't want one. What are you going to do to help solve that problem?
So the first one was related to
Minneapolis.
So, one, stepping up as just as a leader, right? I mean, as we've had conversations, not just with the governor's administration, but the mayor's administration, making sure that you have processes in place for government is extremely important, right? And so, and as you know, we were dealing with this what kind of brought before Minneapolis because the Hannah Dugan case, you know, originated with us. And so we actually had to think ahead just because of those particular incidents that were happening. And so one, my expectation is that law enforcement, local law enforcement, should never, ever be part of this federal immigration agenda that Donald Trump is pushing,
yes.
Right? They're there to protect and serve our local residents. And so my expectation is one, if they're out there to protect people who are exercising their First Amendment rights, they're there facing ICE versus facing the community that is out there exercising their rights, right? It is my expectation that all of us continue to work with not just government, but the trusted messengers on the ground, right? We're talking about Voz de la Frontera. We're talking ACLU. We're talking Turner's Hall. We're talking Ford Latino. And I'm not just talking about them locally here in Milwaukee County. I'm talking of them up across the entire state because everybody else in our state don't have access to the resources that we do. And so we have to make sure that people get connected as much as possible. And we've done that by even putting the Community Resource Hub information out there, right? And so it's setting the expectation as far as what you believe our government should be doing at the top of the food chain, right? And that's what we are going to need in our next governor, right? Making sure that they set that expectation for local units of government, for our local police departments, for our sheriffs. I don't think any community in Wisconsin should be participating in a 287G program. No one. And immigration is a civil issue, not a criminal issue. But it's also a morality issue, morality conversation we're also having. And that's big for me. And so now, I'm actually kind of flipping this on the Republicans right now, because there's something, the Republicans have constantly been talking about, you know, the Joshua Glover story. Are you all familiar with the Joshua Glover story? For those who are not, Joshua Glover was an enslaved black man who escaped and came to Milwaukee. And he got caught. About 500 people broke him out of jail in Milwaukee and helped him escape to Canada. A man by the name of Sherman Booth was then arrested, white man. Sherman Booth then sued because he was being arrested for violating the Fugitive Slave Act. Did you know that he sued and it went all the way up to the state Supreme Court? And the Wisconsin State Supreme Court is the first and only state to ever deem the Fugitive Slave Act unconstitutional?
Wow.
This is a morality conversation. And so if they want to use that story to say that they're the party of freedom, it doesn't feel like that right now. And so this is a morality conversation. There are a lot of people that we have to bring into the fold. And I would tell you, there are people, especially in rural Wisconsin, who are very upset as far as what's happening. Who are very upset as far as what's happening. Because it's not just affecting their economy, it's affecting their school systems. I think he had a question.
He didn't get to the second part.
Oh, it was just child care. Oh, we need universal child care. We have to have universal child care. We're lucky here in Milwaukee County that we still have access. It's expensive. We have access. I heard a story about a couple in Marinette. They were actually hiring individuals to work within the hospital. Two doctors, married, two kids. They accepted the job offer, struggling to find housing, but they found housing. But you know what they never found? Child care. They had to turn the job down because there was no child care available. And so we have to fix child care. We have to fix child care, especially when, you know, we're getting older as a state. And if we want to make sure that we have the same, our children have the same opportunities, that the jobs and the economy that is here continue to stay strong, we got to figure out how we keep people here or how we move people here or make things that much more affordable. And child care is going to be key for that. So I believe that we need to have universal child care. And I know many of you are like, well, how the heck are we going to pay for all this, right? And so I think we should put a Blue Ribbon Commission on the table as well. And the Blue Ribbon Commission is when we bring academics, we bring, you see what you're saying? No. You don't know what I'm
saying.
Those
reports just sit on the shelf somewhere.
Oh, no, we're not doing that. So I want to bring academics. I want to bring local units of government. I want to bring labor. I want to be business owners and have a conversation about revenue and spending in the state. I don't think we have a revenue and spending problem. I think it's antiquated. Our shared revenue program is 100 plus years old. It doesn't work. And so I want to bring this Blue Ribbon Commission together to take a look at how we collect revenues and how we spend. But also look at what other states have been doing and see what can actually work here. And let's have a transparent, robust conversation about what we need to do to make sure that our schools are fully funded, to make sure that we can fill the gaps in healthcare, to make sure that we can have universal child care and invest in affordable housing. Because if we don't do that, we're going to continue to operate in the status quo, and the status quo is not working.
Yes, to climate change, we need big, bold issues. What are yours for getting to net zero, and what is the timeline?
So, I need more of a plan than actually to get in there to figure out what that plan would actually look like. And the reason why I say that is because we've actually did this internally within Milwaukee County. We created our Climate Action 2050 plan to reduce our carbon emissions to zero by 2050. And I'm happy to report we're 49% of the way there already. 49% of the way there already. And so one, we have to focus on how we build a clean energy economy. Like that has to be key, right? How can we bring on more solar as well as more wind into the state of Wisconsin? But we also have to make sure that there's some teeth within the PSC. There's not a lot of teeth, right? I know that I'm the first actually elected official to actually file an intervention with the Public Service Commission on a utility company. And I did that because they were doing a $5 billion project, yet there were no local contractors working on the project. Not one. When you got companies who have been in existence for 80 plus years and never had a diversity supply program, mind blowing for me. And so we have to make sure that this is a top priority, because we have to make sure that one, we're lowering costs, energy costs, because I don't know if y'all got y'all bills in the past 2 months. But man, compared to last year, my bill was $100 more for the past 2 months.
Yeah.
And so without focusing on a clean energy economy, it's going to be real hard for us to get to that net zero carbon emissions. And so for me, one, how do we take advantage of what is happening right now? I know there's conversations and we have to make a decision on like data centers, which have the opportunity to destroy our environment, have the opportunity to raise prices on many different individuals across the state. I think we need to put guardrails in place. One, to make sure that there's the safest of safeguards when it comes down to our environment. If they're going to be here, let's put the safest of safeguards. And I say that because if they leave and go somewhere else, great. But if they don't have the same level of regulations that we can put on them here, how are we going to be affected in the future? How is that going to affect our climate as a whole? So if we can put a stronghold of protections, let's do that. But also let's use it to also create community benefits. So if they're going to be using prices and spending money on utility rates and they got to do upgrades, they should have to spend that money up front themselves. It should not be on the backs of any ratepayer. Should not. So whether you're talking about the grid, whether you're talking about bringing on clean energy, they need to be at the table. But I also think that if they're going to be paying their bill, and everybody sees the focus on energy line, you know, when you pay your wind energy's bill, the focus on energy line is dollars that you pay to go towards more clean energy construction projects. And there's only so much that you can do related to that, right? But when there's an excess of money, how about we use that money to buy down the rate for everybody's electrical use? We can be creative, and we have to get creative, and we have to focus on the clean energy economy, because our agriculture, our land, our water is too much a part of our very fabric, too much of a part of our economy for us not to keep it at the center of the decisions that we're making. He had one and did not go to you, Shay.
So you touched on a lot about health, and I think one part of health is freeway removal, in my opinion, and how urban renewal through freeway removal through urban renewal has really cut up our communities. I know the governor doesn't decide what freeways come down and what go up, but if you are governor, would you advocate and appoint people to the Department of Transportation that would push to tear down 794 and look into tearing down the stadium interchange?
You said tearing down? Listen, I'm already trying to get the stadium interchange. I want to get the stadium interchange by AFM Field.
Yeah,
I want to turn that
into the 90.
Yeah, I want to turn that into a boulevard.
Yeah.
That should be a boulevard.
Yes.
Right? And it should
never
be a,
busy.
Huh?
It's never busy.
Actually, I've been advocating for that for the past 5 years, that this should be turned into a boulevard. You know, if you're going to do this expansion with 94, then you need to remove this where we can create more opportunities, more development, more economic opportunities for our city, right? And so I am absolutely for, what is that, 175, removing that 175. And you have to have people who live in these communities who are going to be on the board so they can speak to the lived experience as well. Because if folks who are making these decisions don't live there, don't travel through there, right? They're making a decision that doesn't impact them at all. And so I've made it a point, even as county executive, that if you don't have any lived experiences, I don't think that you should be sitting on these commissions, on these boards, or on these commissions.
Yes, today's paper.
Wait, I want to hear about 794.
Okay.
Yes, about 794 as well.
Yeah.
What about, well, I don't know what.
794 is like from the Marca interchange to the home bridge. Like not the home bridge, but like what connects up to the home bridge.
Oh, I know what you're talking. So, yeah, I mean, we don't make that decision, but it's about the people who was there. So I don't know what you want me to say about that. But no, I think that you have to have people who are there who understand the community to make those decisions.
Yes, today's paper, your future state initiative. There's a lot of exciting ideas out in there, and as a supervisor, I particularly like dedicated funding for parks and the zoo. Lots of other good ideas too. My question is.
You said you didn't like?
No, I did like.
Oh. Oh, I was going to say, thanks, Steve.
No, there's lots of good ideas
there. Yeah.
First of all, who paid for this study? And second, why haven't we heard about this before now?
I'm sorry, but they actually called you to actually meet with you before we actually introduced it. We actually sat down with supervisors before this was even actually introduced. We've been doing this in-house within Milwaukee County. We've been talking to county workers. We've talked to supervisors. We've talked to a few of our community partners as well. And we brought it to the supervisors. We've actually had Isaac has actually come into meetings to actually have this conversation with supervisors directly. And these are just recommendations. This is anything that has to be, that we're passing right now. And so our goal is to bring this now to the community to have a conversation as far as what they want to see.
Okay. Well, if I didn't meet, it was because I was working my other job. But is this your, shall we say, platform going forward for your run for governor?
No.
No. Okay.
No. That is the county executive's job. That has nothing to do with the governorship or anything like that. These are conversations that we've been focusing on since the very beginning. As you're aware, 2017 became declared racism as a public health crisis, right? I got elected, or 2018. I got elected in 2020. We doubled down and forked on our first strategic plan, right? Which everybody was a part of within Milwaukee County. Now we've had a chance to do a deep dive related to the programs and services that we provide. The question is, are we actually making sure that people don't fall through the cracks? Are we actually making sure that our key performance indicators are actually helping to hold us accountable and the right benchmarks that we need to have? And so the Future State Project is just about making sure that no matter where you live, no matter who you are, that you can get access to these programs and services, because government was not built to treat everybody. And we want to make sure that we're right-sizing it to do that.
There's a growing awareness and movement across the world of the importance of native plants. They prevent runoffs, they prevent flooding,
They
feed the pollinators, and that is essential to our ecosystem. So do you anticipate that being a priority, or having a special commission to introduce that at a more priority, is a priority in your administration?
Saying to save this, we have to focus on, even within Milwaukee County, we are actually removing concrete channels and actually putting the native plants where they used to be, because that's what helps to reduce flooding. Right? We have to, and we see what happens in communities like Houston, because they got concrete everywhere, don't have anywhere for the water to go. Mm-hmm. And I think what we just recently just dealt with related to the recent floods, right? It basically says that we actually have to push these types of projects moving forward even more. We've already started having these conversations with MMSD as far as the cost and what this will look like moving forward, to make sure that we can prevent the levels of flooding that we have seen become more consistent here within Milwaukee County. Mm-hmm. So absolutely.
Okay, so second question, there's a lot of people that want to volunteer. There's the Wild Ones, lots of different environmental organizations that are wanting to do this. Is there a place in, as a county commissioner, within our natural areas that we have in our parks, for people to be doing this kind of work?
Absolutely. So many, if not all, of our parks have Friends of Parks, which is basically nonprofit groups who actually support the park that they're basically adopting. And so those individuals, they raise their own funds, and when they're able to raise their own funds, that actually helps us get the project done a little quicker, because now we've been able to leverage private resources. Mm-hmm. And so we encourage that. And we should be encouraging that across our entire state. But unfortunately, our state is either dead last or second to last when it comes down to investments in natural resources. Mm-hmm. And we have to flip that on its head, because our natural resources is our most precious commodity in our state.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, as you know, if we look in the future, transit funding does not look very good. It didn't look good this year, it doesn't look good next year. It's just service cuts are writing on the wall.
Yeah.
If you become governor, like, how are you going to work with other municipalities and groups, besides just bringing them to the table, but like, what's the strategy to make sure we have a robust transit system?
Transit is a difficult one. I mean, as Milwaukee County executive, right, a quarter of our transit budget comes from the federal government. So if they cut transit, you can imagine how that affects us. And there's a certain amount of money that we also receive from the state as well. And unfortunately, the pot of money that we get in those public transit aids has not grown with inflation. We just recently seen a small tick, but it's not translating and actually saving these services. And so just to give you an example, in 2020, when we received, or 2021, when we received all of our American Rescue Plan Act dollars to help our transit system, you know what the state of Wisconsin did? Cut $40 million from our public transit system. It was the first thing that they did.
Oh, wow.
And so, one, we need to increase those public transit aids. Two, we need a regional transit authority in the state of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. We have to have a regional transit authority in this state. We're a county-based system. Racine is city-based. Think about the Eau Claire, Stevens Point area. They have a city-based system. All of us are struggling. Heck, we actually tried to wanted to bid on the Waukesha bus system. And they, ironically, they decided not to go with us. They hired our subcontractor. And so we have to focus on the RTA, because without an RTA, we won't have the necessary funding to have a robust system. And without a robust system, it's going to be hard to grow our economy. I'm tired of people, when they was talking about Foxconn, talk about how that was the eighth wonder of the world. Now we're talking about these data centers and businesses that are popping up in places like Kenosha, Racine, Sheboygan. I'm glad that they're happening, but the problem I have is that I can't get anybody in my community to those jobs. Mm-hmm. And so by having a regional transit authority, we could actually spread out a little bit more. And I say spread out a little bit more because as the city of Milwaukee, I don't compete with Chicago. Chicago is huge. But we do compete as southeastern Wisconsin against Chicago. And so the more we can take a regional approach with our transit, the more we'll be able to create more opportunities for those that we represent.
I think it's safe to say on election day, Milwaukee County will vote for whoever is the Democratic candidate for governor. Can you speak to the coalition of support you've built around the state of Wisconsin and any endorsements you've secured that give you hope for winning in other places across the state?
So coalitions that I've built. So I've been working campaigns my entire life. Started working on campaigns in 2010, working for Russ Feingold. And so I had the opportunity to start actually building those coalitions as a staffer before I even ran for office. I'm an organizer. I come from a community organizing background. That's how I got involved in this work. And so for me, I've been organizing in many of these communities for the past 10 years, and not around politics, but about the issues that matter most to them. So I've organized in Kenosha, organized in Racine, organized here locally, Rock County, which is basically in Beloit and Rock,
Janesville.
Been to the Eau Claire, been to the Eau Claire area doing organizing. Been to Sheboygan doing organizing. Fox City's area doing organizing. And so for me, we've been able to bring people, not just Democrats, but quite frankly, Republicans who don't want to say that they're Republicans anymore, and independents now, who just want somebody who can deliver results. And the only reason why they're looking to me for it is because they know that we have a track record of being able to deliver results, especially as a Democrat, because we've done so much in a Republican-controlled legislature. And when it comes down to endorsements, we're getting endorsements just here locally. We just announced one. For me to try to name them all would be crazy. But we just announced one from Trempealeau County. We have the La Crosse mayor. You know, and so, you know, we can focus on endorsements, but I would say that for me personally, I don't want your endorsement if it's not going to come with work. If it's not going to bring something to the table, slapping your name under mine, I don't think anybody's ever went in there and said, oh, David Crowley's endorses such and such, I'm gonna vote for him because of that, right? People wanna see the work. And I think that that's what matters most to anybody and everybody right now, because we can all make promises. We can all say what we're going to do. The question is, can you deliver? And I think that's the most important question all of us should be asking every single candidate.
Just kind of speaking on that, you touched on it earlier, but can you kind of go into detail on how you got the sales tax kind of passed, and like, obviously you had to work across the aisle, and what some of those conversations were, and how you would use that skill set?
That was fun. So it started off when I was a state rep. It started before I even ran for county executive or even thought about running for county executive. And so I was already working with Milwaukee County as far as how to message this to come to the state. And while I was a state representative, we were able to get the very first hearing. And that helped. When I became a county executive, I wanted to focus on building relationships. Now, I'll tell you, it's very hard to build relationships because I was sworn in May 4th, 2020, onset of the pandemic. So getting to know people was very difficult, right? And so, first thing I did is I started to build relationships with every municipality. I did a municipal tour, visited every municipality, which I thought was normal, and I realized that it wasn't. But the second thing, when I started talking to people here locally and started to get people on board with the plan that I wanted to bring to the state, we realized, well, we're the political lightning rod. Democrats, Republicans, they all rail on Milwaukee. So how do I change the perception of Milwaukee? Where you go meet them where they are. So we went on a statewide tour. I went to Linacoos, right? Was able to tap a golden keg, but was able to have a conversation about shared revenue that most have never had before. I went to Rhinelander for a joint finance hearing. It was great to be there for the Hodag. It was my first time seeing the Hodag. If you've never been there, it's a mythical creature that's actually in Rhinelander. And it was the furthest that I traveled as it relates to speaking at a joint finance hearing. Two stories within going up to Rhinelander. I was in a supper club, the only person of color in this supper club. And I made it a point to talk to people that I didn't know. So I met this couple. The wife had at the moment just blew me off. She was not trying to have any conversation, but I sparked up a conversation with her husband. And we started to engage. And one of my former Republican colleagues, she said that she was going to stay next to me because she didn't know where this conversation was going to go. But he wanted to smoke. And so we walked out of the supper club, and he's having a smoke, and we continue our conversation. His wife walks out of the supper club demanding to leave. He looks at his wife and said, well, we can go, but you can't leave until you meet David. He talked about the fact that he had a great conversation. I was a Democrat. I was from Milwaukee. And he really liked me. This is what I mean, like you have to build these relationships. The next day we have the hearing, and they allowed me to go first because I travel further than anybody else. And so while I was at this joint finance hearing, I spoke to all Milwaukee issues. The only thing I did different was I didn't say the word Milwaukee. When I was done with my speech, everybody gave me a standing ovation, because we were able to speak directly to the issues, not the partisanship, not the geographical locations and fights that we create. We have to recognize that the divisions and the distractions, that's a part of the strategy, so we never come together. And so, when we were able to get other communities on board, because I will say, everybody said, well, why would we help out Milwaukee? We have our own problems. And that's when it was, well, if you help out Milwaukee, you can help out yourself because you should be at the table too. And so Milwaukee County, City of Milwaukee, Towns Association, Wisconsin Counties Association, you had business groups across the entire state, you had real estate groups across the entire state who signed on to our plan. And now it became harder for them to ignore us. So then I go to Robin Voss and I say, hey, we want this to happen. He said hell no for like 3 months. And it went from hell no to just no. And it went from no to I'll think about it. To then we started actually having meetings. And one thing that I'm extremely proud related to what I was able to negotiate is that we were able to protect everything that Milwaukee County done. I didn't have to give up my DEI program in order to do this work. I didn't have to give up anything, to be honest with you. Because I've been there, I had a few laps around the track, it gave me enough skills and enough knowledge to actually know how to come into that table to negotiate. Now, I also tell you that it didn't solve all of our problems. It didn't. But let's face it, you think they was gonna help me solve my problem? No. But where we are today is the best fiscal place we have been in Milwaukee County. Yeah, we talked about the deficit that we were facing this year. I'm proud to report we actually ended in a surplus. As a matter of fact, we've ended in a surplus every year that I've been county executive. And so I want to build upon that success. I want to build upon the hard work that we have been doing, advocating and lobbying on behalf of local communities, because our government is local. But we have to also make sure that the state doesn't continue to allow cities, towns, villages, and counties to fall by the wayside. Thank you for that.
Okay, we'll do one last question. If anybody has one last question, then we'll wrap it up.
All right. Well, thank you. All right, the hot seat of the hot seat. Thank you, sir.
Can I get a selfie with you?
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Do you want me to do this
light capture? Yeah, thank you.
I can do my best to do this.
I do.
I don't know exactly.
Thank you.
Of course.
But that would be a question. Big corporations come into them at all?
No. So it's a home rule.
Okay, so Franklin has Costco coming into them. So the county has no say in working with them.
So, because we don't do zoning.
Yeah, but transportation
industry. Yes.
And I just wonder if these corporations help transportation get their employees. And that's too bad because